You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast episode 580
on flopcast.net.
Yes, yes. Hello, Cornflake.
Hello to you, Kevin.
Hey, the 80s are back. We're into our 80s shows.
The 80s are back and better than ever.
It's a rare opportunity for us to talk about the 80s here on the Flopcast. This happens every 100 weeks.
Long enough to almost forget that we try to come up with something special every time we have episodes 80 through 89.
Well, it's happening again all summer long.
What timing?
Here we go. But first, I don't know if this will be 80s themed or not, but we're starting with National Whatever Day.
National Whatever Day!
80s themed, but totally not on purpose because I am not that coordinated at all. It just happens, though, that on the 22nd of June, Cyndi Lauper is turning 70 years old.
Oh, that's a very 80s themed National Whatever Day.
I wish I could claim I planned it that way, Kevin. I didn't.
It's a happy coincidence, but that's just fine. Yeah, we love Cyndi. We've been talking about Cyndi a lot this year because she was nominated for the Hall of Fame.
What a great year to be nominated.
Did not make the cut, but someday, hopefully.
We'll be rooting for her till she does.
Do you have any fascinating Cyndi facts and figures for us to celebrate?
Fascinating? Well, she's got a career that has run for over 40 years. She has her music from the 80s we know and love, but also she has her Broadway musical Kinky Boots, which I think we've talked about on the show. She was the first woman to win a Tony Award back in 2013, basically to win the category for the best original score by herself. She was the first woman to ever do that. I think we even might have celebrated that 10 years ago when we were recording this show.
We probably did.
And what else can we say about Cyndi Lauper?
I mean, as far as 80s stuff, just dead center of the 80s, you had Cyndi in a couple of key positions. One being We Are the World. Her screaming solo in We Are the World. One of the key moments of the decade, I would say. And then also that same year, 85, I believe, was the year of the Goonies.
Right. Goonies Are Good Enough.
Yeah, she's running around in the Goonies Are Good Enough video with the actual Goonies, Kiwi Kwan and Corey Feldman and such, as well as all the wrestlers. She was running around with wrestlers all through the 80s as well. And I've run into Cyndi a couple of times over the years. I met her really, really briefly once. This must have been 20 years ago, which was very exciting for me. And then I went to a Cyndi Lauper concert, maybe 10 years ago. That was Cyndi and Boy George, a little double headliner show.
That just sounds so amazing. I know you've talked about that before. But I just get envious every time I hear about it.
That was spectacular. She's been very important to us, certainly, over the years.
Well, she's been important to us, but she's also been important to the LGBT community. And
oh, yeah.
It's Pride Month, of course. I love that her birthday falls during Pride Month.
That is nice. Yeah, she did a big True Colors tour for several years going back a ways, which was very LGBT Pride themed, because certainly the song True Colors, I think, really became emblematic of that whole scene.
Yeah, and it was toward the end of the year last year, she and Alex Nolan did a duet performing True Colors at a celebration at the White House.
What's your favorite Cyndi Lauper song?
She Bop. Yours?
Oh, wow, you're going right there. Okay.
Sorry, did I just steal your thunder? What's your favorite Cyndi Lauper song?
That's fine. I mean, I'm tempted to go Goonies just because it's so fun and goofy and with the video.
The song is incredible. That would be my second choice.
Might be obvious, but I also feel like I might have to go just Time After Time.
Oh, that song's beautiful.
Which is really a remarkable song. And I mean, written by one of the Hooters. You know, we know that. That's our Rob Hyman from the Hooters, co-wrote with Cindy. And I've seen the Hooters perform it live. But seeing Cindy do it live at that show, it really hit me. Just this is one of the great songs of our time.
You can't top it, really. You think anyone's going to be mad we didn't pick Girls Just Want to Have Fun? That was my favorite growing up.
That's one of my favorite songs to do at karaoke. I'll give it that.
That is a perfect mix. You and Girls Just Want
to
Have Fun.
Yeah, given the opportunity, I like to just snipe that song from all the ladies in the room who are planning on singing it. Nope, this big idiot's going to do it before you get a chance on stage. That's my move.
Oh, we need a version of you recorded doing that. It would be the summer jam in 2023.
It's been a long time since I've done that, but I've done that several times. And as I recall, usually a huge disaster.
But that's what karaoke's supposed to be.
That's right. That is very appropriate for karaoke. Well, hey, happy birthday, Cindy. What a fine way to kick off our 10 weeks of celebrating the 80s here on the Flopcast. Before we jump into more 80s stuff, however, I have sort of a non-80s thing. You know how all we do on the show anymore is talk about maids and butlers?
Yeah, something has happened. There's been this format shift over time, and we've gone totally like maids and butlers.
We spent 2 weeks doing the flop fight of maids and butlers. Then last week we did our honorable mention list. I ran through a list of any maids and butlers that I had on reserve who we did not fit in the tournament. We ran through them last week. Then I invited the listeners. Did we still leave out any maids and butlers? Let us know. Well, we got one response, and it's a good one. Our buddy Eclectic Lee sent a very nice list of butlers. He did a nice job putting this together for us, so I thought, let's run through Eclectic Lee's butler list.
Oh, I'd love to hear what Eclectic Lee came up with.
Here's what we got. He started with Mr. Homme. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. H-O-M-N. But this is from Star Trek Next Generation. Luoxana Troi had a manservant named Mr. Homme or Mr. Homme. Luoxana Troi, I remember. That was Deanna Troi's mother.
Yes.
Kind of that outrageous, wacky character, which she'd pop in once in a while, played by Majel Barrett,
yeah.
wife of Gene Roddenberry, the voice of the computer on the Enterprise. Majel Barrett played Luoxana Troi. I don't remember her manservant. Maybe if I saw it, but I have not seen Star Trek Next Gen in a long time.
I started rewatching all the episodes. I need to get back into that.
If you get back on board with Next Generation, watch for Luoxana Troi's manservant.
I will watch for that manservant.
Lee also adds he was played by Carol Struycken. Struycken? I'm probably mispronouncing that as well. But this actor also played Lurch in the 90s Addams Family movies.
Oh, yeah.
So a couple of butler credits on this dude. That's impressive.
Some people are just born to be butlers.
What if you and I were born to be butlers and we just haven't figured it out yet?
Well, in that case, surprise, surprise, I'm letting everybody down again.
Maybe that's where we've been headed with all these maid and butler shows. Lee went on to list a few more butlers for us. We have Cato. That's not spelled like on the Green Hornet. This is Cato, C-A-T-O. Inspector Clouseau's butler from the Pink Panther films.
I would have never thought of that.
I've never seen the Pink Panther movies.
I've only ever seen them in fits and starts.
I only know the cartoons. I've seen the Pink yes. Panther cartoons and the Inspector cartoons. Inspector Clouseau shows up as just the Inspector in a cartoon form. And I don't think the Inspector has a butler in the cartoons.
No. Nope.
So I don't know Cato, but Lee does. So there you go. We have, Edgar was the butler and the villain from the Aristocats. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember anything about that movie. This is a Disney cartoon movie. It's a bunch of cats. It's the Aristocats. All I remember is it's a bunch of cats.
I just remember them singing about how everybody wants to be a cat. I don't remember Edgar either.
Yeah, I remember the songs because we had the album. We had the soundtrack album when I was a little kid, and all we did was play the Aristocats album all the time. But I don't remember the butler. I gotta watch the Aristocats again. It's been many, many decades. Is that on, like, Disney? Is that streaming?
Oh, I'm sure it's got to be. I want to watch it again, too. I watched it during a school assembly.
Wow.
Yeah. It was basically like the end of the school year and they couldn't hold our attention anyway.
End of the year, they gave up. Just show these stupid kids the Aristocats.
Yeah, the joke was on them. I hadn't been paying attention the entire year.
But the cats finally got your attention. We have Riff Raff, Dr. Frankenfurter's butler from Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen Rocky Horror. I've heard of a character called Riff Raff.
I've seen it so many times, and I can only imagine how Riff Raff would have fared in the tournament.
Yeah, who knows?
That would have been awkward. Would have been cool, but it would have been awkward.
That's an important butler then, so
yes.
Good catch by Lee there. We have Hobson from the Arthur movies. That was Dudley Moore as Arthur back in the 80s. I never saw the Arthur movies.
Me neither.
There was Arthur, and then there was Arthur 2 on the rocks. I missed them both. All I know is the Christopher Cross theme song.
I was about to say I know the music from the movie.
All we care about is Christopher Cross. That's no secret. We have Niles from The Nanny.
Yes, Niles. Okay,
fair enough. I did not watch The Nanny. I don't remember. Were you a regular Nanny viewer?
Not a regular one, no.
Yeah, occasionally. You check in?
From time to time.
Yeah, you remember the butler?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Outstanding. I could not take that lady's voice. Fran Drescher. I could not take the Fran Drescher voice.
That's understandable. That's why I wouldn't have been a regular. It was very clever comedy, but it was hard to listen to.
Was it really? That was a clever show?
I thought so.
I've always assumed it was really stupid. But that's based on nothing. I never saw it.
I enjoyed the show. I couldn't tolerate the voice. That's all.
I think all I've seen Fran Drescher in is Spinal Tap. And that's it. We have one more butler on Lee's list, and that's Wadsworth, played by Tim Curry in Clue.
Oh, yeah. I'd have never gotten that one.
Now, Tim Curry came up in our tournament. We got to Mr. French.
Right.
And then Joe reminded us that there was a remake of Family Affair not long ago, and Tim Curry played Mr. French. So here's two different butler credits from Tim Curry. So this is a solid list that Lee sent us.
Yeah. Lee done good.
Yeah. Lee ended his message by saying, maybe next week I'll look for maids. All right. So that means we may be extending this to week 5. If Lee comes through with a list of maids for us, we'll cover that next week. So thanks a lot, Lee.
We'll make like Simply Red and we'll keep holding on.
Yes. Thanks, Lee, for this butler list. And I'm shocked by how long this is going on and on. Right into our 80s shows. So this is episode 580. And yeah, whenever we hit the 80s episodes, we cover each year of the 80s in some way. You have something weird and special planned for the end of the show. Before we get to what you brought us, I didn't do much. I just took a quick look today at the albums of 1980.
Well, I think that's okay. You pretty much do everything for this show, and I just show up. So I think
you brought us something weird today, I've been told.
Right. I'll do something weird. You do something music-related for the 80s.
I did something less weird. I pulled up a big list of albums that came out in 1980, and I just went through it and picked out the ones that were important to me personally. Before I get to my list, though, I think we did this couple times recently, but I looked at what were the debut albums of 1980. This is quite a list. Here are the artists whose first album came out in the very first year of the 80s. Check this out. The Romantics, The Pretenders, Sugar Hill Gang, Bryan Adams, OMD, Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark. I didn't realize they went back all the way to 1980.
Me neither.
Survivor, Psychedelic Furs, Def Leppard, Iron Maiden. See, I thought they went back a little earlier than the 80s.
Me too. I'd have thought so.
Yeah, Iron Maiden debut album, 1980. X, classic punk band, X, Joan Jett. This is Joan Jett solo. You know, she'd been kicking around with the Runaways earlier than that. But Joan Jett, her first album, Bad Reputation, with the song that became the theme song for Freaks and Geeks, Bad Reputation, which was set in the year 1980. So that's appropriate. The Beat. Known in America as the English Beat, of course.
Right.
Love those guys. The Cramps, another classic punk band. Billy Squire, The Vapors, you know, as in turning Japanese.
Wow.
I saw The Vapors just a few years ago. They were great. Huey Lewis and the News.
First album in 1980 for them, huh?
Yeah, their self-titled debut record. Yes, Dexy's Midnight Runners, who, again, they had a big, long career in other countries. You know, we just know the one hit from circa 1983 in these parts. Echo and the Bunnymen, Loverboy, Oingo Boingo, Ice House, INXS, and closing out this list, U2.
What a year.
Look at how we're kicking off the decade with all those debut albums. Yeah.
That's crazy. And you know the Pretenders are touring now, right? I think they're touring with Guns N' Roses, or at least that's the double ticket that's coming to Fenway a little later in the summer.
Yeah, I did hear that. Yeah, I know that I think Guns N' Roses have a few different acts opening on different shows on their tour. Yeah, including the Pretenders. Sure, that's a show.
Yeah, that's quite the show. 13-year-old me would have gone right out of her mind over that.
Absolutely. All right, let's look at my list. These are the albums that caught my eye as particularly important to me. Because really, let's try to make the show all about me.
I see no way to stop. You have editing power, Kevin. I see no way to stop you.
That's a good point. I'm going to edit out every part of the show that was not explicitly about me. Good idea.
Wow, the power really has gone to your head, hasn't it?
I'm mad with power here on this podcast that nobody listens to. All right, we're starting with The Buggles. The Buggles album, The Age of Plastic, came out in 1980. Now, the song Video Killed the Radio Star, that came out in 79, but the album is 1980, January 1980. And I kind of love that because how hugely appropriate that right at the very beginning of the decade, you get the Buggles, who were so important to what was to come, you know, not just being the first band on MTV, but being such a pure synth pop sound. And man, I love the Buggles. This is a great album.
Right. If you've only listened to Video Killed the Radio Star as far as Buggles songs are concerned, you're missing out.
Yeah, and most people just know the one song. Understandably, you really have to seek it out if you want to hear any more Buggles. But I highly recommend that you do. I was listening to this album earlier today. The Buggles are on tour right now, you realize.
That's neat.
That's very unusual. You do not see a Buggles tour very often. If this was just a pure headlining, go see the Buggles tour, I would be there. However, I'm not going to be there because what they're doing is they're opening for Seal.
Oh, okay.
And I mean, nothing wrong with Seal. I'm not enough of a fan to go to a Seal concert just because the Buggles are opening. Now, Seal worked a lot with Trevor Horn, frontman of the Buggles.
That's the connection.
Yeah, Trevor Horn is probably best known as a producer more so than fronting the Buggles. But yeah, he produced Seal's stuff over the years. So they're kind of touring together. I think Trevor Horn, like, I don't think he's really looking to tour as the Buggles. This was more like, okay, I'm going to go out with Seal. We might as well do some Buggles songs before Seal comes out. So Seal fans get to see the Buggles this year, at least. What else did I have here? Oh, the Ramones. End of the Century was 1980. This was a weird record for the Ramones because this was the one that was produced by Phil Spector.
Oh.
So they were trying to...
Trying to change up their sound a little bit.
Trying to finally have a hit record.
Yeah.
Which never really happened. But yeah, this was a shot at maybe Phil Spector can produce a hit record for us. And the recording process was nightmarish, of course, because they're working with a maniac.
Phil Spector, right.
But there's some good stuff on the record, though. This was Rock and Roll High School was on this album. And Do You Remember Rock and Roll Radio was on this album. And I think they were so taken with 60s pop their whole career. You know, they're a punk band, of course. They're the ultimate punk band. But they were really just in love with 60s pop. And what we got was End of the Century. So kind of an odd record for them, but some great stuff on it nevertheless. You know I love Elvis Costello, Cornflake.
Oh, we both do.
Yeah.
Well, you're the super fan of the two of us, but I sure do like him.
You're a Costello fan as well, certainly. I'm a Costello just nut. Going to see him in a couple of weeks, actually.
Awesome.
But 1980, he released Get Happy, his fourth record, I think. But he was cranking out albums back then. This the run of our records that Elvis was on, the late 70s through the early 80s, just every few months he would just knock out another classic, amazing album, just bursting with brilliant songs. This was one of them. This record, he was very inspired by 60s R&B, and even the album cover. You look at the cover of Get Happy, and it looks like an old 60s R&B record. Like they tried to make it look like it had come out 20 years ago.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah. Love Elvis. Here is a record that we talked about in some detail a couple of years ago. Billy Joel, Glass Houses.
Yeah, we did. I remember that.
We did a whole episode just devoted to Billy Joel. And I think we, in particular, we focused on the Glass Houses record.
Yes.
Which gave him his first number one song, which was It's Still Rock and Roll to Me.
An all-time favorite of mine.
As well as You May Be Right was on this album. Don't Ask Me Why was on this album. Those were the three big hits from the record. But he was really going for just kind of a fun rock sound. I love Sleeping With the Television On.
Yeah.
Which was kind of a buried on side two album track. Starts with just a goofy sound effect kind of thing. which you don't hear a lot on Billy Joel records. But I guess you do actually here and there. I take that back. Suddenly I just thought of several examples. The motorcycle in Moving Out.
Right, Moving Out.
Yeah, there's the ocean waves in This Is the Time. There's the helicopter in Goodnight Saigon.
I always forget about the ocean waves in This Is the Time.
Yeah, that one's kind of subtle. Sleeping With the Television On, it starts with a little piece of the end of the Star Spangled Banner, and then it cuts to the sound of the TV test pattern.
Right.
So it's as if you had fallen asleep at the end of the television broadcast day.
Really sets the tone for the song.
Yeah. The implication being that you're sleeping alone.
All right.
If you follow the not so subtle plot of the song. But this is always kind of an obscure favorite of mine. And he's actually started playing this one live this year.
Oh.
Yeah, because Billy still goes out and plays pretty regularly, even though he has not written a song in 30 years.
No time like the present, I guess.
We are Billy Joel fans around here. And we're Air Supply fans around here. And 1980 yes. was, this is when America met Air Supply, the Lost in Love album. Because they put out some records in Australia through the 70s, but this is when America got their first dose of Air Supply, 1980. And this album was Lost in Love, All Out of Love, Every Woman in the World. Those were the three monster hit songs.
Yeah, you couldn't escape those in the early 80s.
And they just went on to rule the first half. I was a little kid, but man, I just fell in love with the soft rock stylings of Air Supply. And those guys are still out there.
Yeah, they can't stop, won't stop.
They tour viciously. I mean, every few months, they're coming around here. They're just circling the globe nonstop. Devo, Cornflake.
Devo.
The Devo record from 1980 was Freedom of Choice. And this is when they had their big monster hit song, Whip It, was on this record. So this was certainly my introduction to Devo. They'd been around since the 70s.
Right.
And they'd been on Saturday Night Live. You know, they'd had some moments in the public eye. But this is when they finally went racing up the charts with Whip It.
We didn't hear much else from them, although they kind of had a minor hit with their cover of Working in a Gold Mine, right?
Yeah, this was their only real hit song, was Whip It.
Yeah.
But they were never about hit songs.
Right.
They were fine just going on being Devo, just doing their own weird thing.
And it was wonderful.
It's a great album, even the Beyond Whip It. This Girl You Want is on this album, Freedom of Choice, Gates of Steel. So there's some classic Devo stuff on this record. And Devo's still out there. They don't play too often, but they do still, they'll put on the energy domes, you know, the flower pots, and they'll put on the yellow suits, and they still get out there from time to time, which is good, because I feel like we still need them.
Yes. I feel like we don't deserve them.
Well, we don't. And it's just become more and more clear over the past 40 plus years that Devo was right. In the 70s, they started warning us that we are devolving as a people. And oh, yeah, we are.
Yeah.
And they're still here to remind us. Here's a goofy one that I could not resist making a note of. This is a soundtrack album to the movie Can't Stop the Music, the story of the Village People.
Yes.
What a weird movie this was. I saw this movie on TV as a kid, and I just didn't know what to make of it. I was like, yeah, all right, there's the Village People. They made a movie. It's sort of supposed to be like, here's the story of the village people, although I think it's largely, if not entirely, fictionalized.
Ah.
But there they are with Steve Guttenberg.
That's so crazy.
What more do you want?
And yet so many things that came over the television in the early 80s were crazy.
It was a very weird time, and the village people were there for us. Here's another soundtrack album. Xanadu.
Oh, yes.
The mayor of Chickentown, Felicity, loves Xanadu. And you know, so do I. A flawed movie, to put it delicately. But you can't argue with the music.
Right.
Great, great songs from Olivia and from ELO. And so, a killer soundtrack album. Remember a few years ago, Juliana Hatfield, local Boston area songstress Juliana Hatfield, she put out an album of Olivia Newton-John covers.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Which was spectacular.
It was so nice.
Then she did a Police album. She has a third covers album coming out this year. And speaking of Xanadu, her third one, it's covering Electric Light Orchestra.
Ooh.
I'm very excited about this.
That's going to be fantastic.
Yeah. Actually, as we record, I'm going to go see Juliana Hatfield live in a couple of days.
Oh, very nice.
Is she going to do some ELO covers? I don't know. I hope so. I shall report back to you.
Thank you.
But meanwhile, this is all the roller disco magic of Xanadu, started in 1980. The Cars, the third album from The Cars, came out this year. It's Panorama, which was a little less poppy, less super catchy, radio-friendly poppy than their first couple of albums. So this one didn't really have any big hit songs. Touch and Go was the single, and that just, I think, just scraped into the top 40.
Yeah.
So a little bit of a departure. Still great, great stuff, of course. Every Cars album is loaded with pretty amazing songs. And we love The Cars. What else did I have here? Oh, Steely Dan.
Nice.
Steely Dan was a 70s band, of course, but this was the end. Their final album from their original run was 1980, Gaucho. Was the album.
Oh.
And Hey 19 was the hit song from Gaucho. You remember that one?
Yes, I do.
That was a big hit as they were getting ready to pack it in and not be Steely Dan anymore. They would not resurface as Steely Dan until, what, the mid-90s, late 90s? They took a lot of time off. But you know Hey 19. You like Hey 19?
I do.
It's catchy.
I don't think I understood what the song was about.
Not afraid to get a little outrageous with their lyrics.
Nope.
It was such gorgeous, smooth yacht rock that they could get away with singing whatever they wanted.
Yeah, they could have sung anything and it would have been a hit.
That's their secret. That's their trick. Steely Dan. Here's a monster record, Cornflake. It came out in late 1980, so I'm including it here, although it really took off in 81 and I think was the biggest record of 81. But REO Speedwagon, High Infidelity.
Yes.
So this was a band that was kicking around all through the 70s, but this was the big one when they became the biggest band in America. And this was Keep On Loving You and Take It On The Run, Don't Let Them Go. I loved this record so much back then.
The world could not get enough REO Speedwagon in the early 80s.
Yes, this was the first album that I bought on cassette. My very first cassette tape was the Speedwagon. Thank you.
Impressive.
And this has a goofy opening as well. Like Billy Joel had the Star Spangled Banner TV test pattern opening for Sleeping With The Television On. There's a song on this record called Tough Guys, and it begins with a clip of the Little Rascals.
That's weird.
Like you hear Spanky and Alfalfa from Little Rascals having a conversation. I love it. But I love REO Speedwagon. That's no secret. I've got one more on my list. One final album from the end of 1980. This is a hugely important one for me. Another movie soundtrack. Maybe the most important movie soundtrack. It's by Queen. It's Flash Gordon.
Yes, Flash Gordon. Yes.
Oh, come on. This one I bought on 8-track.
Because that's what you do when it's 1980.
All I would do was play my Flash Gordon 8-track. And with an 8-track, you just let it play forever. You never even have to rewind, because an 8-track will just keep playing forever.
That's true. I knew that because I had an 8-track player.
That's what mine did. I just wanted to hear Queen singing about Flash Gordon. It's such a weird album because it goes into just all the strange atmospheric background music kind of stuff. So it's not just the catchy Flash theme song that everybody knows. Flash Gordon's coming to town soon, by the way. You know, Sam Jones, who I worked with at Dragon Con last year.
Yes. Your personal friend, Sam Jones.
Yes, my close personal friend. I spent the weekend last Dragon Con working with the Flash Gordon cast with Sam Jones and Melody Anderson. And Flash is coming to us. He's coming to Massachusetts.
Because you asked nicely.
End of June, beginning of July, Flash will be in town for a convention. And I might just try to pop in for one day at least and say hi to Sam and see some other interesting people who will be lurking about that weekend.
Can we just say that you made all of this possible because he's your buddy?
Let's say this is all because of me. Sure.
Yes. Good. Now it'll stay in the show and you won't edit it out.
Oh, good thinking. That's right. In keeping with my new editing strategy, I better take full credit for Sam Jones' upcoming appearance here in Massachusetts. Well, those are the records that were most important to me for 1980, Cornflake. That's quite a year for music.
That was a big one. But I think we're going to find ourselves saying that about many of the years in the 80s.
I think you're right. Now, I don't know if I'm going to do the same thing for all 10 years. I really put zero thought or prep into this, into tonight's show. But you did. You brought something special and weird for us.
But I have so much less to say.
But I know that you were thinking about this, though, in advance, because not only last week did you have to remind me that our 80s shows were coming up.
Hey, they sneak up on you, Kevin. They just do.
They sneak up on me every 100 weeks. But you also had an idea. You wanted to do something different for these shows, and you brought me something to watch, which I did. What are you doing? Tell the Flopcast people what you're going to be doing for the next 10 weeks.
I was thinking back to some way early Flopcast shows when we started doing this, and I think we did a top 4.5 commercials.
Oh, yeah. I think we did.
And we had some fun talking about those. And I just started thinking about commercials from the 80s because every once in a while I'll watch something on YouTube, like a TV show I can't find anywhere else. And if I'm lucky enough, it still has the commercials of the time right in with the TV show.
Right.
And I love that. And I thought, wouldn't it be fun to look back at each year of the 80s and pick out a wacky TV commercial?
But in order to land on the one that you want to discuss, that means you've spent the week watching commercials from 1980. Yes. Wow.
Yes. It is possible that whatever commercial I mentioned from each year may have aired in multiple years.
Yeah. You have vetted these commercials. You have determined that this is a commercial that was running in the year 1980, and you sent it to me. I watched it. Share with us the goofy commercial that you've picked for 1980.
I went back to the year of Kibbles and Bits and Lowen Brown, and I found a commercial for Listerine.
You picked a Listerine commercial. I watched it. I loved it, although I don't think I remember this one. I must have seen it back in the day.
Back in 1980, they were running this commercial with four guys in a bowling alley to discuss oral hygiene for some reason.
Yeah. There's like big, heavy-set dudes in matching bowling shirts.
Yeah. I mean, they look good. But who's sniffing each other's breath at a bowling alley? I just don't understand. But there is a guy.
Can we circle back to you saying they looked good? Because I might take issue with that.
Hey, I like their flashing bowling jerseys. I just...
Like their early 80s hair and mustaches?
No, I like the jerseys, though.
Just the jerseys. Okay.
Bright yellow bowling jerseys. Yeah, big hair, big guys at the bowling alley.
They're hanging around the bowling alley and they want to talk mouthwash.
Yeah, they do for some reason. And one of them is claiming his mouthwash works for lots of hours. And the other guys around him go, ah, ah, ah. And every time he tries to make a claim about his mouthwash being sufficient, they all call him out on it with that, ah, ah, ah. And then, like, they all take him into the bathroom.
Right.
They all go in the bathroom together.
The entire bowling league files into the men's room.
To make sure that this guy swishes with Listerine. And they're telling him it's better than your second favorite mouthwash. Kevin, who has a second favorite mouthwash?
Last time I was at a bowling alley, I don't remember many bowling enthusiasts unfolding long lists of their numbered list of their favorite mouthwashes. Yeah, yeah, that is unusual in this context, I'll grant you.
But just in case this version of the commercial doesn't move you, there were at least two Listerine commercials in 1980 that were similar.
You sent me a companion commercial, the lady version. Same premise, new cast. Now we're at Mel's Diner, essentially.
Right, with waitresses in pink uniforms. And
it's not Mel's Diner. It is a diner, though. And yeah, here's three waitresses in matching pink waitress uniforms. It looks just like Alice in Mel's Diner.
Yeah, a little bit of a ripoff.
Yeah, yeah, because Alice was running at this time.
Yeah, so they might have been trying to tap into that, but there you have a waitress once again claiming that her second favorite mouthwash is just as good as Listerine. And you got the ladies.
It's the same storyline.
Exact same.
They all head into the ladies' room this time.
Yeah. At least that's not as weird, because women have always gone to the ladies' room, all of them together. Although, who was taking care of the folks at the restaurant?
Well, yeah. If a bunch of bowling dudes all disappear into the men's room at the same time, fine, I guess. It's a little weird.
Right.
But now at this diner, yeah, suddenly a service has come to a screeching halt.
Because they're all making sure that this woman is not using her second favorite mouthwash anymore. Except at the end of the companion commercial for the ladies, we get to see that waitress sharing a smooch with some fine dude.
That was not a quick peck. As soon as they get out of the ladies' room, she is going at it with some dude in the middle of the diner. What kind of diner are these people running?
What kind of Listerine provokes that reaction?
Somebody's back there at a booth waiting to get served. Oh, finally, here they come, finally. And oh, wait, nope, they're not going to serve us. Now she's just making out with a dude.
Hey, this coffee doesn't pour itself.
Thanks, Listerine. All right, those were fantastic, goofy 1980 commercials. So nice job kicking off this new 10-week project of yours.
And I'm just going to keep them coming. I'm just going to sit around and watch commercials from the 80s all summer long so I can talk to you about them here on the Flopcast.
We will post links to these YouTube clips, of course, so that everybody can learn about mouthwash of the early 80s, as we have.
Everybody needs to see this.
Yes. Nice job. Okay. I think that's about enough of the year 1980. We got 9 more weeks of this coming up. I'm sure we'll mix in some other stuff as well. Who knows what's going to happen, but for now, let's just get out of here.
Oh, yes, let's. On the internet, please find us at flopcast.net or facebook.com/flopcast or on Mastodon. Universodon.com/@flopcast. We're on Instagram, also the_flopcast. And we'd love to ask you this favor. If you go over to Apple Podcasts, you could leave us a rating and or a review, or both. Both is good. Music for the Flopcast is written and performed by the Sponge Awareness Foundation.
If you want to know the story of how Sponge Awareness came to be, just watch our movie, our musical movie, Can't Stop the Sponges, starring Steve Guttenberg. Thank you. Cornflake, thanks for stepping back to the 80s with me. Everybody, thanks for hanging out with us. And please be safe, be kind, be silly. And we'll see you next week.
Peace and cookies.
Soul Forge Podcast. It's a geeky look at love, life, fandom, mental health, pop culture, and so much more. If you're into learning about yourself and the universe, Soul Forge is your podcast. Each week, we have a surprising new topic, from stupid things we do for love to product reviews. And there's almost always a fun guest host. Like and subscribe to Soul Forge Podcast today.
Cornflake, it's the secret after show, and I understand you have one more just goofy little 1980 fact and or figure for us.
Yeah, well, when I think back to the 80s, I think of the commercials with Trix Rabbit. Trix are for kids. And I know that those aired way before the 80s.
Trix Rabbit goes way back.
But as far back as the late 60s, there were times where there were promotions for Trix cereal asking the children who were going to eat it to vote on whether or not the rabbit should be allowed to have a bowl of Trix.
Right. Because normally that's the premise of most of the commercials, is they're just trying to starve this poor rabbit.
Right. Trix are for kids.
It's children fooling and tricking and taunting the rabbit until it just goes crazy.
Poor sweet rabbit just watched everybody else have a bowl of fruity cereal and they can't have any.
So what happened to the Trix rabbit in 1980?
Well, there was a special election, a promotion in 1980, asking the kids to vote. And the kids of 1980 voted yes, that the Trix rabbit could have a bowl of Trix.
It was an election year, as I recall. And this sounds like the most important election of 1980. Somebody feed that poor goofy rabbit.
I love that in 1980 they said it was okay. I don't know that the children of today would have a heart that would allow the Trix rabbit to have some cereal.
No, they're monsters today.
It's true.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the TeePublic store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.